Peace, grace, and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's text comes from Isaiah 52 and 53. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at his appearance, it was so disfigured beyond any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Kelly Nichols, man I knew, he was a government inspector at the Martin Marietta plant, helping to get the Pershing missile from the drawing board into the sky, and we together got to see that happen. Kelly was a very religious man, a certified Methodist lay preacher. He came from the hills of Kentucky, and he had some of those ideas with him. For example, no fishing on Sunday because it was the Lord's Day. Now, many people didn't get to know Kelly, for he was somebody like our text. He was disfigured. He was somebody that you'd kind of hide your face from. You see, he had this growth on half of his face. It looked like a bunch of raisins squished down. And then his mouth was contorted, and he had a black patch over the one eye. He came to work in my area, and I thought, oh, Lord, I don't ever want to work with him. But that day came, and I had to sit next to him. But when I found out he loved the Lord Jesus Christ the same way I did, we became friends. And after a while, his disfigurement seemed to fade away. And I wanted always to be with him because he was a brother in Christ. I even wanted to eat with him, something I never thought would have happened when I first saw him. That's the way our text pictures Jesus. He was a man disfigured, as it were, someone we would hide our faces from. Our text says there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Jesus was very ugly as far as the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the people were concerned. Not necessarily in his appearance, his face and so forth, but in the appearance of the way he acted. You see, he touched lepers. A no-no. He spent some time with a woman who had been married five times and lived with another man. He spent some time with a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and he basically forgave her. He went into a tax collector's home and he ate with them. The Pharisees said his hands and his vessels were unclean. According to them, he was ugly in what he did. But the rank and file, they didn't see him that way at first. You see, they saw his miracles. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. He fed 5,000 people with a small boy's lunch. And so when they saw him on Palm Sunday, they said, hey, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be David's son. That was the Palm Sunday acclaim. But shortly thereafter, he was arrested and tried. Mel Gibson tried to make a movie, and I guess he did, that somewhat showed how Jesus probably looked. He was whipped, he was scourged, he was beaten, he was flailed. They pressed a crown of thorns on his head. His eyes were swollen closed, his lips were puffed out, his face was bloody. And the people, when they saw him, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. There were many who were appalled at his appearance. So disfigured, our text says, beyond any human being, his form was marred beyond human likeness. Our text says he will be raised and lifted up. Yes, they raised him up. They crucified him for all to see. For those who would pass by, and what do they say? Hey, just as it was foretold in the Old Testament, He saved others. Let him save himself, but he didn't save himself. He suffered and he died and he was taken away. And as the prophecy said, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Now, what is anti-Semitism? And why do so many people seem to wrestle with that? Some people think it started right here in our text where the Jews turned against one of their own so horribly they lied about him. But what put Jesus on the cross? Could the 11 apostles be blamed for not defending their Lord better than what Peter tried? Could it be the Jews who lied about him, the false witnesses? Could it be Pilate who washed his hands knowing that he was innocent? Could it be the Roman soldiers who actually nailed him to the cross? No. You and I know it wasn't these people. It was sin that put Jesus there. The sin of Adam and Eve, the sin of all the Old Testament people, the sin of all the New Testament people, the sin of St. Paul, who said he was the very chief of sinners, the sin of those people after the New Testament until this very hour, your sin and my sin put him on the cross. Did you ever hear this saying, that's as ugly as sin? I used to hear it a long time ago. I remember one time when we got out of the Army, my best buddy and I, we started fourth grade together. We went all the way through high school. He went into the Marines. I went into the Army. 3 years we got out, started to mend our life back together again. And we were talking about some of the school people. And I said, Bill, and he said, oh, that guy is as ugly as sin. It was kind of true. It's a face a mother might love. I don't know. I didn't know his mother, but he was ugly. Well, what do you think about that? As we pass by this street and see all those homeless people, disheveled, wrinkled, haggard, can we say they're as ugly as sin? As we see on the television, the streets of San Francisco where these drunks and homeless are laying all over, filthy, dirty, is that as ugly as sin? Well, sin is ugly to God. The Bible says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and he has hid his face from you so that he cannot hear you. Another verse from Isaiah. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all become unclean, and all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf. And our iniquity, like the wind, blows us away. Our righteous deeds, those are the things we try to be nice about. We try to do some good without Christ. They look good to everybody else, but God sees them as filthy rags. You think you can stand before God in filthy rags? Looking back at the word leaf, we go to the Garden of Eden and we see Adam and Eve preposterously dressed in leaves. They repulse God, and he takes leather, and he makes them suits, and he clothes them so that now they can stand before him. Now, where did that leather come from? From animals he slayed. What does that remind you of? Jesus Christ himself. He was killed so that we might be dressed in the robe of his righteousness. St. Paul says in Galatians, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed in Christ. Now God looks upon us. And he doesn't see our filthy rags. He sees the robe of Christ's righteousness, his own son. And he accepts us in that robe. As our one hymn says, naked come to thee for dress. So indeed, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me always and forever hide myself in thee. And then when that moment comes, I like the way Luther put it, Stundlein. It's his former German. It means that little moment when the angel taps us on the shoulder and says, come, for all things are now ready. So then, at that time, I would say to him, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom, and lead me to the skies. Heaven mornings break, and earth's vain shadows flee, and life and death, O Lord, abide with me. And another hymn, you may not know this, it doesn't come in our hymnal. Come ye sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. If this were St. Paul Lutheran Church, you would be saying, amen. God bless you. Let us now confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.